Hello, my friends. My name is David. I have not met very many of you. I've met some of you, but I'm probably a new face here that you haven't seen at Wake before, but I am not new to Wake. I actually spent 10 years doing what Sean and Ryan and Rebe and Jake and everybody that serves you here. I served in Wake for 10 years, and then I did Shoreline, which comes after Wake, for 7 years, and now I'm doing Regeneration for Students, which is something you can ask your small group leaders about. And everyone has to go to the bathroom right now. Where are we going, guys? You got to go that bad? Oh, they all have to go to the bathroom. Yeah, in the baptismal. I know. People go to the bathroom in there. Don't try to sneak that by me. All right, that's awesome that all those guys are helping baptize somebody or they're getting baptized. That's incredible. Well, hey, I'm going to wrap up our Charting the Course series. You guys have been talking about this for the last 3 weeks. This is the final one, so get ready and pay attention. But I want to tell you a quick story to set up what we're going to learn about today. My wife, she has 3 kids, and so do I. We had them together. And she's here with us this morning. But before she had kids, she was a kindergarten teacher. And everyone in this room, as far as I can tell, has been to kindergarten. And so you know what kindergarten is like. In kindergarten, every class has at least one troublemaker. His name is probably Trevor. Any Trevors in here? Nope, no troublemakers in here. But you know a troublemaker named Trevor. And then you always have the goody two shoes, the tattletale, usually named Anna, right? That's what I thought. All right. So I have a couple stories about Trevor and Anna from my wife's kindergarten class that are going to be helpful, so pay attention. So one day, Anna comes up to my wife, Allie, and says, "Mrs. Pinyol, Trevor said a bad word." And Mrs. Pinyol said, "Okay, Anna, what did Trevor say?" Because Anna tells for everything. And she goes, "He said the P word." And so then my wife is thinking, what is the P word that Anna thinks is a bad word? And so she says, "Anna," she kind of gets down, she says, "What word is the P word?" And Anna just shakes her head. "I'm not going to say it." And she says, "Anna, it's okay. You're not saying the bad word. You're just telling me what Trevor, the troublemaker, said." And so Anna got kind of scared, and she cupped her hands and whispered in my wife's ear, "P." And so my wife said, "Well, Anna, sometimes kids say, hey, I have to go pee, and some say they have to go tinkle, or, you know, like whatever, and pee isn't always a bad word. How did he use it? Like, what did he say?" And she goes, "He said, I'm gonna pee on you." And so then Trevor got in trouble. And then a couple days later, Anna comes running back up, "Miss Pinyol, Miss Pinyol, Trevor said another bad word." "What bad word did he say this time?" And she goes, "He said the C word." And she starts thinking, okay, that could be. "Well, what word did he say, Anna?" She was like, "Mm-mm, I'm not going to say it." She said, "It's okay, Anna, you can tell me." And Anna goes, "Kill." Remember, she's in kindergarten. She doesn't know how to spell. And so then Miss Finial said, "Okay, well, how did he say kill?" "He said, I'm going to kill you." Bad word. All right. So there was some confusion with Anna and with Trevor and with Miss Pinyol about what a bad word was and what a bad word wasn't, and even how to spell bad words. But we're talking about bad words this morning. And let's just be honest. If I had everybody in here write down a list, don't do it, of all the bad words that you know, some people would have like a really long list. You could think of 20 bad words because every word is bad to you because your parents have told you, don't say this, don't say that. Some people, you would only write down like 4 or 5 bad words and you'd be like, everything else is fair game. And so there's some confusion about what is a bad word and what is a good word. And have you ever thought about this? Like, words are just sounds and groupings of letters and noises that come out of our mouths. Like, what makes one bad and one good? What makes one get you in trouble and one not get you in trouble? And so we are talking about our words through this whole series, Charting Your Course. If you're new, here's what we do here at church is we take an idea and we talk about it for a couple weeks to really go deep into it. And so we've been talking about our words and our mouth and what the Bible shows us in James 3. We're not going to turn there this morning, but it tells us that our tongue is a very small part of our body. But it's like a small part of a ship or a large boat, like you see on the screen. The rudder is in the back, and it's underwater, and it's really small, but it steers the entire direction of the boat. And the Bible says your tongue has the power, even though it's small, to steer the whole direction of your life. What people think about you, what you're able to accomplish, where you go, how you spend your time is all influenced by this small part of your body. Also says it's like a small spark that could start a forest fire and burn down a whole fire. And your tongue has the potential to ruin your life. So that's why we're spending 3 weeks talking about it, is to teach you how to wisely control your tongue so that you don't run your life in the wrong direction. So 2 weeks ago, we started by talking about gossip and how gossip can really get you into trouble. And then last week, we talked about words that bite, words that harm other people. And today, we're going to be talking about unwholesome talk. Unwholesome talk is the term the Bible uses to describe bad words. So this could be anything like cussing or inappropriately talking about private parts or sexual things. Anything that is inappropriate or could be considered bad words that could get you in trouble in school with your teacher or with your parents. Any of those words, the Bible groups into this word unwholesome talk. And here's the reality. Unwholesome talk is everywhere. It's in the music you listen to. It's on the TV shows that you watch. It's on YouTube. It is in the language of your friends at school when the teachers are not listening. Unwholesome talk is everywhere. In the movies that you watch. And everyone is tempted to use unwholesome talk. Because sometimes when you do, you feel a little bit dangerous. You feel a little bit edgy. It makes you look cool. You might think it impresses other people. Sometimes unwholesome talk makes other people laugh, which makes you feel good about yourself. And like you fit in and you're accepted there. Unwholesome talk sometimes comes out naturally when you get hurt or injured or when you're scared. You say a cuss word. Unwholesome talk is everywhere with Christians and non-Christians. And so this is something we all need to pay attention to. So you should take notes when you come to Wake. You should bring a little notebook or a journal. If you have a phone that you can write stuff down, that's second best. But it's always better to write because you remember what you write. And so here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to preview the main thing we're talking about today. And if you're not able to take notes today, I'm going to have you say it out loud. But here's the main idea I hope everybody gets from this morning is this. Every word Christians speak should benefit others and represent God. And so we're going to break this down into four parts. I'm going to say it and you're going to repeat after me. And we're going to do this several times because I want you to get this main point because it's so important. So I'm going to say repeat after me. Then I'm going to say every word and you're going to say every word. Then I'm going to say Christians speak and then you're going to say Christians speak. Then I'm going to say should benefit others. You're going to say it and represent God. Then you're going to say it. So you're always going to repeat after me. You guys ready? Here we go. I want you to get this. Repeat after me. Every word. Christians speak. Should benefit others. And represent God. Okay, I'm going to need a little bit more enthusiasm. You guys are saying this like we're saying it at a funeral. This is not a funeral. All right, we just had Brandon's mom up here. There's a little more energy in the room. So we're going to say it like we mean it. Repeat after me. Every word. That's so good. Christians speak. Should benefit others. There we go. And represent God. All right. Now, keep in mind the word Christians is up on the screen. This is a message mostly for Christians. Now I'm not going to assume just because you're at church this morning that you are a Christian. But if you call yourself a Christian, you need to pay attention. If you're not sure whether or not you're a Christian yet, you should pay attention to this message and expect Christians to act like what I'm going to describe. If you don't know what it means to be a Christian, let me tell you real quick. A Christian is any person who recognizes that there's something wrong and broken in their life. And the brokenness and the wrongness is a result of a distance and a separation that's come between you and God. That there's a God who created you, created this whole world, but something's off between you and him. And the Bible calls that sin, that you've distanced yourself from God. But that a Christian is somebody that's come to understand that God's not mad at you, that God loves you. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to become a man, to live a perfect life, and then to die as a sacrifice to pay the penalty and the punishment for your sin. And to give you forgiveness as a gift and the promise of eternal life in heaven with God if you would trust in and believe in Jesus Christ. So the reason why Christians are called Christians is because they follow Jesus Christ. They've been forgiven of their sins, and they're sure they have an eternity in heaven, and they're living the rest of their life on this earth representing Jesus Christ, telling others about this good news and this free gift. So that is what a Christian is. And if you're not a Christian today, you can be by believing and understanding that message and committing your life to following Jesus. And so if you're not sure whether or not you're a Christian, the most important thing you could do, pay attention to the rest of this talk, but then talk to an adult or a friend in this room about how you could become a Christian. But if you are already a Christian, you've got to understand that every word a Christian speaks should benefit others and represent God. So here's your outline. If you're a note taker, this outline will come back up on the screen three other times so you can keep up with it. But we're going to see that every word Christians speak should benefit others and represent God. That idea comes from the book of Ephesians, which I'm going to show you these two verses in just a second. And we're going to just see in these verses that unwholesome talk does not benefit others. That unwholesome talk does not reflect a holy God. And that unwholesome output or unwholesome talk comes from unwholesome input, unwholesome listening. We're going to see all three of those things this morning. I'm going to come back to this if you're trying to write it down, so don't worry. Let's look at Ephesians 4:29 and 5:4. A little bit of background before we break this down. Ephesians is a letter that is captured in the Bible. It's in the New Testament of the Bible. It's written by this guy named Paul who went around and started churches. And then when he would go start another church, he'd write letters back to the other church. So Ephesians is a group of people that lived in a town called Ephesus. And they were a church. And the guy who started the church was gone. And he's writing them a letter. And this letter is all about explaining how Christians should live out their everyday life. So it's really helpful. So if you're looking for something to read in the Bible, read the book of Ephesians. It'll help you know how to live your everyday life. And this part is talking about how we talk. So Paul's writing a letter to a church, much like our church right here, and he's giving them instructions how to live. And this is what he says about their charting the course of their life with their words. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Remember, we said unwholesome talk does not benefit those who listen. And then a little bit later, I just put these two key verses in there in chapter 5. He says, "Nor should there be any obscenity," which is a fancy word for cussing or inappropriate language, "foolish talk," or coarse joking. Coarse joking would be dirty jokes and things like that, "which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." So here's what we're going to see is that unwholesome talk doesn't benefit the listener, and that unwholesome talk is out of place for someone who claims to be a Christian because it doesn't represent God. So let's look at this first idea. Unwholesome talk does not benefit others. No one needs to hear unwholesome talk from you or anyone else in order to have a better life. Now let's argue this one to the ground real quick. Because a lot of the reason why there's unwholesome talk in movies and TV shows is to try to make people laugh. And some of you, just like me, have been guilty of laughing at unwholesome talk before. And so this whole first point of, wait, unwholesome talk does not benefit others. Well, doesn't it benefit others to laugh? And that's a good point. And we ought to think about that. And I found this incredible verse in the book of Proverbs just a couple weeks ago. I wasn't preparing for this message. I was just reading through the Bible, and I spent a lot of time thinking about this verse because it speaks big truth into my life, and I think it will to yours. Look at what Proverbs 14:13 says about laughter. "Laughter can conceal," which is hide, "a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the grief remains." Now, I like words that rhyme, and in here it says laughter can conceal a heavy heart. And here's what it doesn't say, a word that rhymes with conceal. It doesn't say laughter can heal a heavy heart, because when the laughter ends, the grief remains. And so using unwholesome talk to make other people laugh or to make yourself laugh, it doesn't actually bring comfort and healing into your life. It just hides it for a second. but then the brokenness is still there. And see, I've been guilty of this for so much of my life, is I've tried to hide my pain and brokenness with laughter. And I've tried to make other people's pain and brokenness be hidden with laughter as well. And this proverb teaches me that that only conceals for a second the heavy heart and the brokenness and the grief that we all experience in this life. But it doesn't heal it. It's a fake remedy. Also, doesn't unwholesome talk help you kind of when you're angry to get the anger out, or when you're afraid, doesn't it naturally come out of you? And there's another warning in Proverbs I want to show you from Proverbs 21:23. It says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. Because as you heard from the story with Mrs. Peniel and Anna and Trevor, unwholesome talk can get you in trouble, and there's really no excuse. And getting into trouble does no benefit for others. The person that is the authority over you, the other people that are your friends that are around you, it offers no benefit to others. So the first point I want to make sure everyone understands is that cussing, inappropriate joking, dirty joking, offers no benefit to others. And remember, every word Christians speak should benefit others. And let's look at the second point. Every word Christians speak should benefit others and represent God, but unwholesome talk does not reflect a holy God. And I want to jump right to the scripture on this one, 1 Peter 1:13-16. This is kind of a bigger chunk. This is written by a guy named Peter who hung out with Jesus and followed Jesus everywhere, and now he's writing to a group of churches. And he's telling these churches, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So he's saying, look ahead to eternity. Don't just worry about what's right in front of you day to day, because Jesus is coming back. There's going to be an eternity of perfection. Put all your hope in that. And while you're on this earth, verse 14, right in the middle, you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires, to look cool, to be funny, to fit in with unwholesome talk. You didn't know any better then. Verse 15, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. The scriptures say, you must be holy, for I am holy, because I am holy. And let me tell you about the word holy real quick, and then we'll move on. The word holy basically means set apart. God is completely different than any of us. He is all-knowing and all-powerful and perfect and pure. And when we become God's son or God's daughter, when we trust him and we follow him, the Bible says that we should be set apart, that we should be completely different from the world. If the world is dark, we should be light. If the world is unwholesome, we should be wholesome. And so the Bible says that if you are a Christian, you are a representative of a holy God. And so you should strive to have self-control and to be holy in all that you do. That passage in James says this. It says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. So let's get real for a second. Right before I came up here, we were praising God. I heard your voices. Your voices were singing out loud. And we were worshiping God and lifting up his name for all that he has done for us. But then, this afternoon, tomorrow at school, maybe some of you on social media or in text message with your friends, are your words also praising God and representing him? Or out of that same mouth, is there cursing coming out? Do you understand the hypocrisy and the two-facedness and the double-sidedness of that? It should not be that way. And I hope this message is convicting some of you that use bad language outside of this room, that you've got to choose one way or the other, because it is inappropriate and confusing to say you're a Christian and to lift up your voice and praise God and then let cursing also come out of your mouth. Guys, I've struggled with this. I know this is a problem for many of you. And so I want to help you understand the problem, to get at the root of it, so we can change. So let's look at this third point. Unwholesome output comes from unwholesome input. We'll hit Philippians 4:8 a little bit later. But Here's what I mean by this, is what goes in your ears and your eyes comes out your mouth. That's just how it works. Is unwholesome output comes from unwholesome input. So if you have ever struggled with unwholesome talk of any kind, dirty jokes, saying bad words, like whatever it is, you find yourself just instinctively going back there and doing it over and over again, like I have. If you ever find yourself in that position, you need to start paying attention to what you're watching, what you're listening to, and who you're hanging around. Because unwholesome output comes from unwholesome input. And let me just show you the kind of input that is surrounding you in the world today. Let's talk about Spotify. How many people have a Spotify account or use one? Raise your hand. Almost everybody, right? So this is the United States top 50. And the contrast on the screen, you can't really see it. But if you look at the artist's name, to the left of the artist's name, it's like very faded, but you can see the word explicit, 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 explicit. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 out of the top 12 songs in the United States top 50 right now on Spotify have explicit lyrics. And I would encourage you to go home and look at your playlist and see, just look at it. How many of the songs on your playlist have unwholesome talk? Explicit lyrics. This is the trending top 50 and the exact same thing, the viral top 50 right now. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 out of the top 12 of the viral songs right now on Spotify that you are listening to, that your friends are listening to, that this world is full of, they have explicit lyrics. And so you got to wonder, hey, if I'm struggling with unwholesome talk, where's it coming from? It's coming from what I'm listening to. Let's talk about movies. You probably haven't seen these movies, but I'm going to show you some of them. You've got this movie called Good Boys. It's about 13-year-old boys. It says you must be this tall to see this movie. It's rated R. There's a movie called Eighth Grade. How many people, raise your hand, are in eighth grade in this room? It's all about being an eighth grader. And then there's a movie about high school graduation called Booksmart. And let me tell you about these three movies. There's a website called PluggedIn.com that watches movies and counts explicit language. In the movie Good Boys, starring three 13-year-old boys, we hear more than 50 F words. 50 F words and 20 S words. And a handful of exclamations using the H word, the A word, and the B word. There's numerous crude references to private parts, and God and Jesus' names are both profaned repeatedly. In the movie Eighth Grade, God's name is misused more than 10 times. The F word is uttered more than 10 times. And there's other vulgarities, including the S word, the D word, the A word, and the B word. In Booksmart, this movie on the right, it's about high school students, and it's for high school students. We hear more than 70 F words in one movie and nearly 20 S words, multiple uses of the B word, the A word, and the D word, and God's name is misused more than 15 times. So hopefully you haven't seen any of those movies. But here's some movies you have seen. Avengers Endgame, Spider-Man Far From Home, or the TV show Stranger Things. Let me tell you about these ones. In Avengers Endgame, that most of us have seen, there's at least 8 S words that you hear your favorite characters who are your heroes, or the heroes of the movie, 8 S words. The A word, the B word, the D word, the H word, many crude references to private parts, and God's name is misused in that movie 8 times. Your input determines your output. In Spider-Man Far From Home, about high school students, 2 S words, 2 A words, 2 B words, 2 D words, God's name is misused 7 times. Nobody's counted Stranger Things because those kids cuss so much. But what they've done is people who are crazy, I don't know why they have done this, have created montages on YouTube of every time Dustin cusses. And they're like multiple minutes long. And these are the shows people are watching. Your input determines your output. And not just Spotify and movies and TV shows, but the friends you hang around with. I'm not going to put these on screen. These two phrases are so common amongst teenagers, and I bet they're growing and increasing commonality among kids your age. The phrase WTF. It stands for what the F. All right. And people write that in text messages and on social media all the time. Somebody says something is as cool as or as fun as F. They use the term AF. People are using that all the time. Oh, that's as fun. That's fun as fun AF. They type it and you hear it in your head. And it's the people that you're around, not to mention the other cuss words that they say. And so your input, what goes in, is going to affect what comes out of you. And so I want to challenge you to think about the movies you watch, the music you listen to, the TV shows you watch, and the people that you choose to spend your time around. So let's summarize. We're almost done here. Repeat after me. Every word.
Every word.
Christians speak. Should benefit others. And represent God. And guys, unwholesome talk does not benefit others. Unwholesome talk does not reflect a holy God. And unwholesome output comes from unwholesome input. So here's the question that we've been ending with each week is this. Are you willing to self-sacrifice for the redemptive good of another? And let me explain to you what that means. Let's put some bullets up on the screen. This is what self-sacrifice looks like when it comes to your output of unwholesome talk. Self-sacrifice looks like removing explicit songs from your playlist. You're sacrificing what everyone else is listening to, the beat that you like, the melodies that you like, some of the good parts of the song, because the bad parts are there and they're gonna work their way out in your life. So you remove them. You turn on restricted mode for YouTube. You visit pluggedin.com. Pluggedin.com before you watch any movie. And it'll tell you all the inappropriate stuff that's in the movie, and you make a decision with your parents whether or not you should see that movie. But you take that extra step. I do all of these things, guys. You leave a group text. You mute somebody on social media that you shouldn't be following, or you even go so far as to unfollow them. Some of these are celebrity accounts that you guys follow, and you're getting all sorts of inappropriate content coming into your life over and over all day. And you shouldn't be surprised if it comes out. But if you're a Christian, every word you speak should benefit others and represent God. So my final thought is this. We said unwholesome talk output comes from unwholesome input, but wholesome talk, the opposite, comes from wholesome input. Wholesome talk comes from wholesome input. So I want to challenge you, the positive side as you leave, to surround yourself with positive, truth-filled messages. Philippians 4:8 is the last thing I want you to see. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So you should memorize Philippians 4:8, and every time before you choose something on Netflix or Hulu or Spotify, or you go out to see a movie, you should memorize this verse and say, is this true? Is this noble? Is this right? Is this pure? Is this lovely? Is this admirable? Is this excellent? Is this praiseworthy? Should I be thinking about these things? Because the input is going to affect the output. And so you find music that is true, that honors and glorifies God, and you listen to that music. You find TV shows that, even though they're not going to be perfect Christian TV shows, they're representing themes and values that will strengthen you and will that you want to come out of you. You find people to surround yourself with that are speaking truth, that are right and pure and lovely, and you invite those people to hang out with you. You join their teams. You fight to be in their friend groups, and you don't worry about what's popular and what everyone else is doing, but you surround yourself by excellent and praiseworthy people, and you think about such things. And so that is your application, my friends, is that wholesome talk comes from wholesome input. So find the wholesome inputs. If you don't know what those are, ask your small group leaders, the adults in this room. They would love to help you. Let me pray. We got one announcement, so don't get up and leave, and we'll get out of here.